Welcome to Carettles. This week, in the Common Questions series, can my manager see all the messages I send at work? And can my manager dictate my hours? The question this cast answers are, can my manager read my emails? Can my manager see my Slack messages? Can my manager see my screen? Listen to my phone calls? Listen to my Teams calls? See my calendar? Can my manager force me to do overtime? And can my manager change my schedule?
Career development is expensive, and good career development material is hard to find. So we've made it easier for you. The Executive Speaker Series offers practical knowledge and powerful connections. For just 1 hour a month, one of the executives from our community will share their knowledge, host a Q&A, and help you by giving you information you can't get anywhere else. And in between, the private forums will allow you to continue the conversation with people like you, people who are career-focused and wanting to grow together. Oh, and did we mention it's just $240 a year, the equivalent of $20 a month? So join us by clicking the Executive Speaker Series header on the Manager Tools homepage.
This is the first cast of a series that we're going to do of common questions. We get a lot of questions that start, can my manager do X, or can my manager say this, or can my manager attend this meeting or do any of these things? And they're mostly answered fairly quickly in a few paragraphs. They're not long enough for a cast of their own. And so we've put some of them together, and we're going to answer them probably two or maybe three at a time over the coming months. So if you're a manager and you're listening to this, this might be interesting to find out what questions are being asked behind your back, essentially, what your directs are asking about your behaviors, because it's interesting, I think, to know what they're wondering. So the first one is summarized by the question, can my manager see all my messages at work? And the second one is, can my manager dictate my hours? It's a kind of summary. And we'll talk about the subsets of what those questions come to us as when we get into the questions.
Well, let's start with, can my manager see all the messages I send at work? The short answer is yes, if she wants to. The question is often communicated very specifically, and we hear it as, can my manager read my emails? Can my manager see my Slack messages or my instant messages? Can my manager see my screen? Can my manager listen to my phone calls? Can my manager listen to my Teams calls? And can my manager see my calendar?
Right. Whatever communication channels you have or that person has at work, all of the million, you know, WhatsApp or, but I don't know that anybody uses WhatsApp at work, but Zoom calls, can they listen to my Zoom call recordings? Whatever communication channels people are using at work, whatever applications they're using at work, whatever devices they're using at work, people ask, can my manager see the output or see what I'm doing on that device, see what I'm doing in that app, hear what I'm saying, and so on?
And that answer is yes, they can. Especially, Wendy, when it's work-related. Mm-hmm. If you think, am I doing this on a work computer or even a work email on my personal, the answer is going to be yes. So before we go on and explain it, just know that 99.9% of the time, your manager, she is not diving deep into what you are doing with your emails, with your Slack channels. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, because they have a lot more work to do than there is to be done. And it's not part of their daily task to dive into that. And we're going to point out that even though they're probably not diving into it, if you're asking yourself the question, can my manager read my emails, especially about what you're about to send, you're probably not wanting to send that. You're kind of going down the wrong rabbit hole. If you're thinking to yourself, oh, is she going to be able to see this? Then you're probably doing it wrong. Because if you are worried about it and you're worried about your manager seeing it, reading it, hearing it, we would assume that that's something that you don't want them to see or hear or read or listen to. And that's not going to be good for your career. So if you're asking the question, the problem is with your behavior, and you know it.
Exactly. And however, we're going to answer the question as it is asked. And the important part of the first sentence is if she wants to. So if your manager wants to, yes, they can almost certainly see everything that you're doing. And the vast majority, 99.9% of the time, your manager couldn't care less what you're sending, as long as it's not causing a problem for them. So they're not monitoring your emails or your Slack messages or your phone calls unless there's a problem. The function for her to do so exists so that the company and your manager or your manager's manager can do so if there is a problem. And that problem might be you sent an email to a customer that was rude and they need to walk that back or apologize for it. It might be that something was going on that comes up and you're caught up in something that was illegal and that comes up in a court case later on. So it could be something specific that you did, and it could be something that you just get caught up in as part of a larger thing. But it has to be, it's usually that there's something problematic going on before anybody starts going down the route of pulling that data, because it's difficult. It takes resources. They have to go get someone involved in order to get your login or pull that data off the server or whatever, however they do it. It involves people and resources and authorizations. So there has to be a reason for doing it. And the reason has to be there's a problem.
Yeah. So you should assume that the function for everything you do, what you write, what you say, can be recorded and brought to the public, either within the company or in a court case that exists and it needs to be used for. You, of course, are an upstanding citizen. We know. We assume the best in our community. We know you are good. But like Wendy said, you can be caught in the crossfire. It might have not been something that you said, but maybe it wasn't a reply all email that you were associated with. So just be aware that even though it might not be directly you, you can get caught up in it and you can be exposed to it. So if it's someone else's wrongdoing, it's still being recorded, not just you.
And you should assume this even if you're not in a company building, but you are using company technology, or if you're in a company building and you're not using company technology. So if you're in the building, but you're using your own phone, it's possible that that room is being videoed. And we understand that that sounds very Big Brother, that it sounds like it's authoritarian and that you're being recorded. If you think about buildings where you swipe in and out, yes, the fact that you've arrived in a building and the fact that you're leaving in a building, and sometimes that you're entering certain rooms and leaving certain rooms is being recorded. And that sounds very dictatorial. It sounds very Big Brother, but it's almost certainly legal and unarguable. And it's almost certainly for safety reasons, for reasons of making sure that you're not working too much, that you're being paid appropriately, to make sure that they, if there's a fire, they've worked out where everybody is and that you can get out. Those things exist mostly for good reasons. They want to make sure only the right people are in the building so that things aren't stolen, including secrets or machines or whatever. That's what those things exist for. So even though it sounds like they're following you or filming you and you could take that negatively, mostly those exist for good reasons. And if there's a problem, yes, they can be used against someone. And if you're a good person, they're not going to be used against you.
Yeah, that's a great point, Wendy. And I just want to emphasize that it's certainly not a malicious action that the organization is using it for. Again, assume positive intent. It's there if it's needed, but overall, it's really not aimed specifically at you or intended to do you or any other single employee harm. It's intended to protect the company. And A lot of the times when they're protecting the company, they're also protecting you. So keep that in mind. And remember that you're acting on their behalf. You're acting within that organization, and they have to safeguard their reputation. So if you're a mouthpiece for the organization, they have an obligation to themselves to uphold their reputation. And all of these actions, all the things that they do, are to protect that.
I saw a news article last week about someone who had been fired from a retail store. I want to say it was Home Depot, but it may not have been, for attacking someone who was stealing some items. And the rule at that retail store is you call the police, you don't touch the person, because it's dangerous. The workers could be harmed if they attack that person. Obviously, if they try and stop someone stealing, who knows what that person has on them, a gun or a knife or whatever. And so the rule is you don't do anything, you just call the police. And because that rule exists and this person broke it, they were fired. And the newspaper article was like, that's not fair. They were just trying to protect the company, which is true, but the rule exists to protect the workers and the company. You know, you can read that both ways, but if you think about it, the company is trying to protect the employees. So if you assume positive intent, they are trying to protect the employees in the first place.
Exactly. There are definitely rules in place to kind of almost save us from ourselves, right? So we don't feel obligated to jump in front of that person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Because you don't know what they have. So yeah. I absolutely agree. That's a great point.
And when it comes down to data being saved, so emails and phone calls and video calls, those kind of things, film, video of buildings and rooms or places within a building, in 99% for all of the workers, in 99.9% of the companies in the world, all of this data will be written over in whatever timescale is legally required and lost to history. So if a company legally needs to keep its emails for 20 years, which some companies do, it is a surprisingly long timescale, but after 20 years, they will write over that data because it costs money to keep data. So there's no reason for them to keep that data more longer than they need to. They will shred the paper because, again, it costs money to keep paper. But, you know, the space that needs to be used. And so that data will disappear as soon as it's no longer legally required, and nobody will ever look at it 99.9% of the time. And of course, if it's on the internet and it's publicly available, remember, everything is forever on the internet. So there's that.
Yeah. If you're not willing to say it within your organization, definitely don't say it on the public internet.
Exactly.
Because there's plenty of space out there, right? It is forever. When thinking about this, the only time any of this data will be used is if the behavior of one or more individuals becomes problematic. So even though there's some positive intent to it, they can use it when behaviors become problematic. That may be you, and it may not be. You want to keep this in mind when considering whether to commit whatever you're thinking to writing, especially if you are asking yourself and thinking about the question, can my manager read this email? Even if you're squeaky clean, you could get caught up in someone else's mess.
And a bit of a tangent here, which is often asked, it's related, so we'll quickly cover it here, is can my manager attend a meeting I'm running, but to which he is not invited? And the answer to that is also yes. And you should not assume that this is negative or micromanagement. It's part of the normal oversight that managers make of projects and people within their purview. So a manager has to come to some of your meetings to know how well you're running them and to give you feedback, whether that's negative or positive. If your manager never comes to your meeting, he can't tell you that you run great meetings. So occasionally he has to come to one of your meetings that you don't invite him to find out what they're like. And he just sits in the corner of the room, and then he comes out and he goes, you run great meetings. You were on time. You stuck to the agenda. You dealt with that really hairy question. Great job. Keep going. And the more positive feedback you get for your meetings, the less frequently your manager will come. So yes, managers can come uninvited to meetings. It's a bit like them listening into your phone calls when you don't want them to. They can do it. Usually they only do it if there's a problem. Sometimes they'll do it just so they can assess your skills and give you feedback.
And maybe just to support you, right? We've all been in those meetings that a little support might be nice, and having someone in your corner, figuratively and literally, can be helpful.
Exactly.
If you've got a training budget allocated to 2023 and haven't used it yet, we can still help. We have a myriad of options of either on-site, virtual, video, or self-paced individual courses of all of our core trainings: the Effective Manager, Effective Communicator, and Effective Hiring Manager. Contact Maggie, her email address, maggie@manager-tools.com, to see how we can get in to help your organization.
So the next question is, can my manager dictate my hours? And the answer to this is a little more complicated. It's a considered maybe.
Maybe. And because it's a maybe, this question is often asked in regards to a specific type of working or time off. And those can be, can my manager force overtime? Or can my manager change my schedule? And the answer maybe is still true in both of these cases. Maybe stems from the number of factors which govern such things. The legislation in your country and region often have the strongest effect. Obviously, every company has to obey the law. Oh, but often when you look at the law, it is not clear-cut. They're often quite vague. And it's up to case law or test cases to make them more specific. So it's actually quite rare to be able to point to a law and say, oh, you can't do that because it says right here, you can't change my shift like that. So looking at the broader picture, yes, the laws of your country and region do play a part in this, but they can be a little vague.
And sometimes it's down to the municipality. Sometimes it's the country. It depends how laws are created in your country. So sometimes the country laws are mitigated by the ones in your city, and sometimes the country ones override. It depends how the system works. But wherever you live, you should at least understand that. And then there's the rules in your company and your department. So if, for instance, the company says that a schedule change has to be made with at least 3 days' notice, then that's the rule that your manager should be following. And operational departments often have different rules to non-operational ones. For example, a 24/7 call center's rules are probably different to the administration department that runs the receptions rules, because reception only has to be manned 8 till 6 Monday to Friday, whereas the call center has to be manned 24/7 because that's what they've agreed. And so the call center manager has to be able to have someone there overnight. And so he probably has more flexibility around ensuring people are on shift or being able to say no to people when they ask for time off than the person who is managing the reception desk or someone who's managing an administration department somewhere else in the company. And when you sign up for that department, you probably know that.
Yeah. Or at least hopefully you do. If you're signing up for a 24/7 possibility of shifts, that you're going to know that there might be a little bit more give and take. Also know that the level of the role you're in plays a part. The more senior you are, the more control you have generally. Individual contributors are usually expected to work fairly specific or already kind of prescriptively done schedule. This includes the hours, the days, the time off. Now, know that first line managers sometimes have a little bit more flexibility. And then the farther you go up in the hierarchy, the more flexibility there is within the schedules.
And the most influential player in whether you get what you want in terms of time off or not having to work overtime or keep or change your schedule is your manager. I was talking to somebody recently about something we do at Manager Tours, and he was like, oh my gosh, I would never require my people to do that. It just sounds too hard for me as the manager. He's just lazy and he didn't want to do it. So he said, no, I'd never require my people to do that because it sounds too hard for me. And that's what managers can do. His boss didn't seem to be bothered by the fact that he was lazy in this area, so he didn't do it. And your manager can choose to bend the rules in your favor or bend the rules in his favor. And they can choose to work to the letter of the law or the spirit of it. He can choose to give preferential treatment to one team member and deny others. And yes, that's not fair. And no, life isn't fair. It just isn't. And if you realize that your manager has the most influence, then the action to take is have a really good relationship with your manager.
That is absolutely true. And in a lot of our guidance, we always come back to having those relationships. Mm-hmm. So you want to have your manager on your side. It really comes down to having that trust and that relationship. When the question is, can my manager make my schedule unreasonable? The answer is yes. Is that legal? Is it within the rules of the company? Is it morally right to do so in your case? Would we disagree with them? The answer to all those questions might be no, but that does you no good in the moment, right? Even though the answer is no to those questions, or probably is a no, it doesn't really do you any good in your situation, right?
Right. Although I should have written, would we agree with them? No. Would we disagree with them? Yes. I wrote that wrong. So we'll just point out that if your manager is making your schedule unreasonable, we would disagree with that. We don't think people should make your schedule unreasonable out of spite. And I should be more careful when I write. And short term, you can do very little, because fighting against an unfair schedule that your manager has created is probably a waste of energy. They've already put it in place. They feel like it's reasonable, and or they have decided that's what they want to do. And even if you get the change that you want, it's usually at the expense of driving a wedge between you and the person who allocates your work, who writes your performance review, and who decides your paycheck. Just remember how much power that person has over you before you go fighting over something that is very short term usually. If you have a work schedule that's being allocated, it's usually a week or 2 weeks at a time, maybe a month. So suffer through this month, because you can't probably do anything in that short time, but medium term, building a relationship with that person and improving that relationship will start to get you more of what you want in the medium term. And if you are having a problem with consistently getting the worst schedule possible, you may already be getting punishment, in inverted commas or air quotes, for previous transgressions. In which case, if your relationship is that bad, then you might want to think about another job, because that relationship may not be rescuable.
Yeah. Or it might not be worth salvaging, right? You've already gone that far down the road. So in summary, when you're new to the workforce, you don't know the answers to simple questions. That's why we are here. It's okay to not know. We all have questions, especially if we're starting off. So it's okay to ask. The answers might not be what you expect, but they're the ones we learned the hard way. We're hoping learning the easy way accelerates your career. So let us be the experiments. Ask us the questions so we can help you along quicker.
Thanks, Amanda.
Thanks, Wendy.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Thank you.